This is Dave Gloetz of MrRadio.org. I'm speaking with Ben Jarofsky, who writes a weekly column for the Chicago Reader called The Works. Ben's column on January 10th, 2008 is titled, Hear Ye, Hear Ye, King Daly Issues His Self-Serving Proclamations for 08. And Ben's here with me today to tell the rest of the story. Do you write your own headlines?
No, that's a great headline. I don't write them. I'm not clever enough. I'm not sure who wrote that one. It was either Kiki Yablon or Kate Schmidt or Allison True. So whoever it was, good job. And the illustration was fantastic as well.
Well, you cover lots of ground in your article. With the exception of TIF abuse, most of the topics you write about I've seen or heard reported elsewhere, namely public school closings, a huge salary for the new police superintendent, moving a deputy superintendent and paying him more than his predecessor, low-income housing supplanted by high-income housing, increasing property taxes, a federal monitor criticizing city hiring practices. Obviously, you're responding in your article, point by point, to the mayor's essay in the Sun-Times. But it's curious to me that I don't see or hear such comprehensive and concentrated criticisms of the mayor in Chicago news media. Why do you think that is?
Wow, that's the million-dollar question. Mayor Daly is an incredibly powerful figure with a quick temper and a long memory. My gut-level opinion is that the people who own the Tribune and the Sun-Times do not want to get into a fight with Mayor Daly at this precarious time in their existence.
They don't want to get into a fight with him.
Yes, they don't want to anger him. They don't want to upset him. Now, there's some things they cannot avoid. You cannot avoid writing about indictments and convictions and accusations of nepotism. You cannot avoid raucous city council meetings where aldermen oppose tax hikes. But you can avoid like a systematic picking apart of how he runs his government and all the ongoing betrayals and deceit and lies.
The episodic things are easy to cover, but you're talking about the bigger context.
Constantly putting it into the greater picture. Now, I have to say, the Sun-Times, and it's in defense of the Sun-Times, I think despite all the cuts they've been facing, have done a very gutsy job on the particular element of inside scandals, insiders getting contracts and the mayor's family getting contracts, the mayor's son. I mean, that took a lot of courage. So I give the Sun-Times actually a lot of credit.
On the other hand, some people accuse the Sun-Times of being toadies for the Daily administration.
You know, I read
just
that.
As an easy shot?
It's an easy shot. I think that's a cheap shot. I think that Fran Spielman, who's the City Hall reporter, I think she does a good job of just keeping up with the flow of news that comes out of there. Now, is she me? Does she analyze the budgets to break out TIFs and talk about the real property tax hikes? No. But we have different roles. The real problem with the Sun-Times is that they don't give her any backup. She's doing way too much. She's covering far too much.
But now with their staff cuts, it's not going to get any better.
It's not going to get any better.
You say that the daily papers and the daily reporters seem to be afraid to cover the Daly administration. Why the heck would they be? What could the mayor do to them?
Well, okay, let's use one of my favorite examples. I remember the Tribune in the late 90s and the early 00s was vigorous in its coverage, its critique of Mayor Daly's proposal to reshape Soldier Field and Mayor Daly's proposal to build Millennium Park. And they did a great job, I think, of showing all the blemishes and pimples in those plans and all the drawbacks. And they hammered at him. Daly responded. The city responded in its own insidious ways. Building inspectors were unleashed at the Tribune's company's WGN television station. Building inspectors were unleashed at Wrigley Field. The city tied up the Cubs' proposal to expand Wrigley Field. They were suddenly battling over who owned the right to the land that adjoined Wrigley Field. In other words, they sent a message that we can make your life difficult. And subsequent to that, the Tribune, for reasons having absolutely nothing to do with Mayor Daly, began going through these wrenching series of cuts, and now they have a new owner. And so I notice that they're absolutely silent on the Olympics. I find that incredibly curious. In fact, they're basically, as the Sun-Times, promoters of the Olympics. And the coverage of the Olympics, the proposed 2016 Olympics, is generally of the cheerleading form, as in, are we going to get it? And they haven't, in any systematic way, attempted to examine what exactly is the thing that we will get.
And should we even get it?
And do we want it? Can we afford it? What will be its legacy?
What has other U.S. cities' experiences been?
Yeah, they've done a little of that, but they've not analyzed the Chicago plan in any way. In fact, one of the most curious things I find is they continually repeat the word that comes from the Olympic planners, that we, the planners, cannot show you the details of a plan that will drastically affect your lives because we don't want to give away trade secrets to our competition. But we promise that after this plan has been approved by the International Olympic Committee and the Olympics is on its way to Chicago, we'll show you the plan.
After it's a done deal.
For the newspapers to just parrot that without filing a suit to get the plan or a freedom of information request, I just find that astounding. Why? Why aren't they covering it with the same vigor that they covered Millennium Park or the same vigor that they covered Soldier Field? I don't know. My guess is that it has something to do with the intimidation that they received after they vigorously covered Soldier Field and Millennium Park. And with all their own problems, as I said earlier, they don't want to have to take on the mayor.
Interesting theory. One more detail. You also write, elementary school scores ought to be rising. The Chicago Public Schools instituted an easier test 2 years ago. How do you know that?
Well, it's been published. It was talked about in the press. The politics of testing is particularly egregious and silly, offensive. I view this not only as a writer writing about urban issues, but as a parent. The whole point of testing, in the ideal sense, is to figure out where a child's weaknesses and strengths are so that the school and the teachers can come up with a coordinated plan to help the kid shore up his weaknesses and be even stronger. What it's turned into nationwide, not just Chicago, but particularly in Chicago, is sort of like a political tool to either beat up teachers and schools and principals and parents and kids, or to polish up politicians. And so politicians who control the school system are constantly trying to manipulate the test scores to establish whatever political point they want to establish. So for instance, if they just take over a system, they work night and day to have the scores look as bad as they possibly can be, so they can only go up. Once they've been in office for a while, then they work day and night to make the scores look as strong as they can to say, my God, what a great job we've done. And that's what's happened in Chicago.
Got it. I guess we'll leave it there. This is Dave Glowatz. I've been speaking with the Chicago Reader's Ben Jarofsky about the rest of the story. Check back at MrRadio.org for further installments. Thanks for listening.